Let's stand on our feet again for a moment. Let's worship Him.
Your presence ever to me.
Presence with us at all times, and especially now. Thank you for helping us even as we look in your word. Thank you because you enable me to speak. You enable us all to hear. Thank you, Lord, because indeed beyond that, as the words go forth, your spirit breathes upon it, comes alive in our hearts, turns our lives around for good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As you sit, open to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Thursday, we were looking at Psalm 91. We were talking about divine protection, basically. And if you missed that, listen to it. But today, we're looking at fundamentals of worship. Fundamentals of worship. As I sat here last Sunday inclusively, I felt God saying a number of things, but I needed to address or speak. And that's not to say something is wrong, but it's just that's the way I get, I preach messages. It's not based on what I know necessarily just alone or what I think there's some rev about. But it's basically what I believe God is inspiring to say, this is what I wanted to speak about now. And what he was just actually directing my heart back to was that if you have any effective walk with God, you know, there are certain things that we are told all of the time. If you have any effective walk with God, you have to be a student of God's word, of course. Can I have an amen? I mean, Peter wrote and he said, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the milk of God's word, that you may grow thereby. So it means that if you are not a student of God's word, you are likely to have what? Stunted growth. So we are compared to babies, but if you are not a student of the word, your growth will have a limitation. So it's as bad as a child that doesn't eat. You know, so when children don't eat, parents get upset. And sometimes they will even beat the child and say, eat, eat, eat. And usually I would say, leave the child alone, he's saving you money. You know, but the truth of the matter is that you need that child to eat. Can I have an amen? So, you have to be a student of God's word. If you walk with God, you have to be prayerful. You know, so again, one of the themes that's been running on my mind is the value of that quiet time, the value of waking up in the morning. I think we wrote about that in the last newsletter that went out. Understanding that you'll have to separate yourself and just talk to God by yourself. You know, one of the beauties of the New Testament is that there is no intermediary between us and God. One of the amazing advantages is that we can go to God by ourselves, you know, and talk to him, and indeed he will hear us, and he will do what we want. Can I have an amen? However, again, you can see that there's a combination there, because if you'll be a prayerful person, you'll also have to be a student of God's word, because you'll have to know how to pray. You'll have to know what to pray, you know, even when you don't know what to pray. What do I mean? Romans chapter 8, 26 says that there are times we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. It said, but the Spirit will help us to pray with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8, 26, verse 27 says, but the Spirit knows what the mind of God is and will help us pray out the perfect will of God. But how do I know to pray in other tongues that way? How do I know to rely upon it? How do I know to trust in it? It's because I know what God's word says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27. So my prayer life is impacted by the study. But there is a third fundamental that I think is critical to your walk with God, which is the worship. Your worship of God, your ability to worship him, your ability to lift your hands before him, your ability to bow before him, your ability to sing to him and adore him and sing praises and thanks and all of that, I think is absolutely critical to your walk with God. You'll have to be able to do that on your own in your room. You'll have to be able to do that when we come together like this. When we miss it, we miss something very heavy. The Bible talks about, I believe that's Psalm 76, verse 1, if I'm right. It says that in Judah is God known. Meaning that when you praise, Judah means praise. In praise, you know God. In praise, he moves. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Meaning that when his people understand worship and do worship right, there's something about the tangible presence of God that it brings about. Why do we have to say the tangible presence of God? Because God is everywhere. You know, God is absolutely everywhere. I think it was a psalmist that was writing. He said, if I go, even and I make my bed in hell, he said, you are there. So he's everywhere. But he's not manifested as who he is or as heavily as he is everywhere, because it's not everywhere that he is worshipped as he should be. Are you with me? Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 18. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So what does he mean again? Because he's everywhere, but he's saying if they will gather to agree and to pray or gather in my name, he said, I am there, manifestly present. So there's something we can do that makes God's presence real. That's what I'm trying to say to you. And that's your ability to worship him appropriately, adequately. Many years ago, I came to Lagos on a holiday and stayed with my uncle and aunt. And on Sunday morning, I think I must have been in secondary school or something, late secondary school or early university. And my uncle didn't really go to church then. So Sunday morning, got in the car, went to church with my aunt. And when we came back, of course, he knew what he knew. My uncle was asking me, he said, so doing, how was church? So I said, I think we went to a club. he laughed, you know. And he said, did you hear him? You know, and thinking back, I knew what he was trying to say. He was trying to say, look, this guy has insight that what you are doing there is that you all just went to show off. You know, you all went to show off and pretend, you know, that you were there to worship God. He was trying to tell my aunt, that's why I don't go. Are you there? Unfortunately, I'll say that we still have a lot of that today. But the key thing for me is that when you talk about the tangible presence of God, where you know that God is with you, you know that you know that you know that God is with you, you'll have to be a worshiper. Are you still with me? Okay, so let's read Psalm 100. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. I'll say to you that if you just take a moment and dissect, you know, Psalm 100 is telling you, or it speaks to really the all of the things that I may want to say. It speaks to all of them. The other texts that I want us to go through, but it speaks to all of them in a sense. In the sense that it's telling you, number one, that you have to remember who God is. You know, you will have to bear that in your mind. So whenever we're talking about God, whenever anything has to do with God, whenever you wake up in the morning and you kneel down to pray or whatever, you'll have to think about what you are doing and who you are doing it with. Are you hearing me? It changes or it brings you to the heart of the matter. But then the key thing that I wanted us to see, of course, is verse 4, which says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's like an illustrative way of speaking. That when you enter somebody's abode, you enter the gates. But if you are going to come to where he really sits, where, you know, so it's like saying come into his inner chamber. So the first thing, or in the first place, if you are going to get in at all, he says then you'll have to come with thanksgiving. And if you are going to get into his inner court, you come with praise. Again, I don't want to make too much of the distinction between thanksgiving and praise, but I think it's well worth it to mention. The fact that you are thanking, when you are thanking somebody, he's done something. These are levels of worship. If you are thanking God, it's because he's done something. So you're excited. If you know what I mean, anybody can thank God when something has been done. But when you are praising him, it's beyond him doing something. It's simply because you recognize who he is. Are you following what I'm saying? It's not about, even at that point in time, you might be going through hell and things are not working, but you are still able to praise him because you know who he is. Are you getting me? And you are praising him for who he is, not because of what he has done or seemingly, in quote, what he has not done. So there's a depth to that. But I said I didn't want to make much of that distinction because if you come in at all with thanksgiving, with praise, it's all good. Hallelujah. And if you are talking about the presence of God, that's the best way to command that presence. One of the things I realized very quickly in my walk with God was that the people that seemed to have an audience with God and commanded God's presence that I was looking at, watching, and understanding were worshipers. They were very deep worshippers. Whether you saw them just in a congregation and the way they worshiped, or if they came to minister, you found that these people sang and songs flew from their heart. So I realized there was a key in there. There's something about this thing that is helping these people in their walk with God. Are you following me? We're talking about moving beyond that place where you need a PSR, Yamaha PSR S670. you know, before you can sing to God. We're talking about where you can stand, clap, and still praise God from the heart. Hallelujah. You know, I remember many years ago, I had to name a child. And there's nobody. Nothing was available, no instruments. They just said, oh, Sedma, will you please come and do this? And I said, sure. So I came that morning and found there was nothing. No instruments, no keyboards, and lastly, no singers. So I was the choir master, backup singer, and the preacher. Hallelujah. But I can't forget the presence of God that was there that day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every unsaved person, as far as I can remember, and as told by that gentleman in that place, got saved. Because of a tangible presence of God. That's the most important thing. You want to be walking and know that you know that you know, that God is with you. Years ago, I've told the story before. 100 level, I discovered that's one of the signs. In fact, I discovered that you'll even find that your prayer life becomes more of worship, more of praising God, more of giving Him thanks, more of just laying your life down before Him, and less, I'm not saying there's something wrong with it, but less and less of coming to ask Him to do something. So many years ago, you know, on a level, I was walking on the street, coming back from class to my hostel, and my friend was with me. I was lost in worship. And I was just singing. We were talking, and I just got lost in worship. And he kept walking beside me quietly. Just walking beside me quietly. And at some point in time, I got into God's prophetic word, or word of wisdom. And I began to sing. I didn't know he had a problem. But I began to sing. And I said, I still remember that I sang, God will make a way. Where there seems to be no way. And then I felt, you know, I sang that a few times. It's like there was a choir master inside me. And like the choir master said, oh yeah, switch. And give me another song. And I switched again to another song. And I began to sing, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. That's the way God planned it. You know, and I just began to sing that. And we got to the hostel, you know, bye-bye, bye-bye. We left. It was my birthday, you know, a few months later. And that's when he told the story. And he said there was that day. And he referred to that day. And he said what was going on that I had no clue was that he had failed an exam, which was a compulsory course. He said he had failed the exam, meaning that he couldn't proceed with us in medical school. He will have to repeat that one or just change his course. He said, and after I sang a while, I began to sing. You know, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He said it was like God was speaking directly to him. And then I switched and I began to sing, it's going to be all right. You know, and that he knew that God had just moved. You know, and what happened was that they called him and they waived that course for him. Basically said he didn't have to do it again. It wouldn't matter. He can proceed to the next level. And it had never been waived as far as we knew. It had never been waived before for anybody. Like I said, it was a compulsory course. And as far as I know, they have not waived it for anybody after that. But they waived it for him. But what was different for me was that the presence of God was very strong around me. Are you there? So he said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Worship is a key to commanding God's presence. That's the first thing I want you to see in Psalm 100. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us something similar in verse 18. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein there's excess. He said, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. And of course, they've told us that there's a continual sense in the original Greek. That is, he didn't just say be filled once. He said, be in a continual state of being filled. Or be being filled in a literal translation. That is that always be filled, always be filled, always be filled, always be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then verse 19, he said how? He said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God through the Father. But basically, where I'm going is this. He said, you know, speaking. So what's coming out of you can get you filled or keep filling you up. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you say, look, be not drunk with wine when there's excess, but be being filled with the Holy Ghost. How? Speaking. So that's speaking, or be speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It will help you to stay filled with the Holy Ghost. But not only so, it's not just a cause, it's also an effect. That is, when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you find out that, again, you are also speaking. You find yourself always speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, when you speak wrongly, or you have a foul mouth, I can give you a diagnosis of your problem. You are not filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, so like what I'm saying to you is this, these activities will fill you, but these activities are also a product of a filled life. So when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, this is also what will keep happening to you. You'll find yourself speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You find that everywhere you are going, you are singing. You find that you are just speaking and confessing God's word. When somebody is talking to you, you say, bless you. When somebody is doing this, you return with scriptures. So you find that speaking negativity and foulness and cursing and all of that will stop. Are you with me? We're talking practical Christianity here. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Chronicles now. So these are my introductory texts. I'm still... Toby is laughing at me. Let me say it's persecuting me. I'm warming up. Amen. 2 Chronicles 20. So remember, we're talking about fundamentals of worship. Okay? Fundamentals of worship. You know, this one, don't let me jump ahead of myself. 2 Chronicles 20, are you there? I said, are you there? Okay. Now you should be there very quickly. Most people use electronic Bibles. So 2 Chronicles 20, one of my favorite stories, from verse 1, it says, it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Azazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. So please note, Jehoshaphat feared. So a great multitude is coming, about three countries coming against you. Jehoshaphat feared, but what did he do? He set himself to seek the Lord. The question is not whether fear comes at you. The question is, what do you do? You know, what do you do when fear wants to grip you or wants to grip your heart? That's the real issue. Okay, so he said he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Jump to verse 13. He said, now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of a brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. This is where I'm going. He said, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, And all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, doing what? Worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. You know, one of the key things, I like that song that says, "This is how I fight my battles." You know, have you ever been praying before and the songs are flowing? You know, the worship is flowing and you feel like I need to move to the real issue. Have you ever felt like that before, anybody? That you feel like I need to stop this one and get to the real matter today, because today I have serious matter to pray about. Guess what? This is how we fight our battles. You know, most times I've always thought for many years that actually God told them, put the singers in front. You know, God told them, "It's not your battle. Go out this way. The people coming at you are coming from that direction." And I've always thought that that was God's instruction, but it wasn't. It was the fact that Jehoshaphat understood that if you're a worshiper, your battles become not yours, but God's battles. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But when you're a worshiper, the battles are taking over from God. It doesn't matter whether you got to praying the 10 things on your list. God knows them and he will take them up. Are you still with me? So when they said, "This is not it, but go out to battle," Jehoshaphat understood the power of worship. And the first thing he then did was said, put the worshippers. No, the first thing he did was he bowed his head. He worshipped God. Everybody worshipped God alongside. But guess what? The battle was still raging. They had not won anything yet. But he knew that it doesn't matter what is in front of me, as long as God is for me, as long as God has my back, I can thank him in advance. I can praise him in advance. I can worship him in advance. And when it was time to go, the Bible says he understood the power of worship so much that he said, put the singers in front of the army. Put the singers ahead of the army. Normally, we would have thought if you were the king, you would put the singers behind the army and even tell the army, make sure you surround them so that they don't get killed. But rather, he said, put the singers first in front. Because that's the real way we are fighting this battle. Are you still with me, anybody? So worship is the key to fighting your battles. One last introductory text. I won't read that because of time. Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, the Bible says that Paul was praying. Paul and Silas were there, they were praying, and they wanted to go in one direction, and the Spirit of God forbid them from going there. They tried to go in another direction. The Bible says the Spirit of God forbid them from going there. And then one night, Paul was sleeping, and he had a dream, and he saw a man of Macedonia, and the man said, "Come here and help us." And he woke up, and he knew that that was a dream from God, that was an instruction from God, that they needed to head to Macedonia, and they got on a ship and headed to Macedonia. And when he got there, they were preaching and preaching and preaching, and God was moving, and then a lady was following them. And she kept saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God, hear ye them." And that she did for many days, the Bible said. But after some days, Paul, being grieved in the spirit, turned around and rebuked the spirit in that lady and cast that spirit out. That's what we call the gift of the discerning of spirits in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So he could discern that this was not the Holy Ghost in this lady, this was another spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We'll need the discerning of spirit. We need the gifts of the spirit. Are you still there, anybody? We need the gifts of the spirit in the body of Christ today. They are there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 9 of them listed. And they are not for preachers, they are for believers. Can I have an amen?
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, it said the manifestations of the Spirit are given for our profiting. So when the Holy Ghost manifests, in fact, verse 1 is started. He said, brethren, concerning spirituals, I do not want you to be ignorant. God doesn't want an ignorant church. God doesn't want believers who are ignorant of spirituals, ignorant of how God moves, ignorant of the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Are you there? I'm talking about people who are just good Christians. Just good Christians. Good brother, good sisters. They go to church. They even give tithes. But they know jack about the Holy Ghost. He said, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And why? Because verse 7 says, the manifestations of the Spirit are given for our profiting. So one of the prophets was that Paul recognized that the Spirit manifesting in this girl is not the Holy Ghost. He couldn't have known because the girl said nothing wrong. You hear what I'm saying? But maybe she will follow them, and maybe while he's preaching something, say, hey, hear him. You know what I'm talking about? You are preaching in church. Say, preach it, preacher. They say, God wants to do something in your life. Say, tell them. And sometimes we think it's the Holy Ghost moving. That somebody jumps over. Tell them. Yeah. Ooh. Rev. Sometimes it's not the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it's not even his emotion. It's a spirit of distraction. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I'm not saying everybody who does that is a spirit of distraction. I'm not saying so. So he needed the Holy Ghost to point out to him that there's something wrong. And he cast out that devil. And when he did, the people who sent the lady who used her for profit for business, they got angry and they got Paul arrested. But this is where I'm going. The Bible says that they were thrown in jail. But at midnight, the Bible said, Paul and Silas sang, they prayed, and they sang praises unto God. They prayed and they sang praises unto God. And the Bible says the place was shaking. All the shackles, chains on their hands broke off. All the doors flung open. And the man who was the chief warden, when he got startled. And he said, yeah, Mugbe, every prisoner must have escaped. And Paul said, no. We are all here. So they were not singing. This was just a lifestyle. That's what it meant. It meant that Paul and Silas were just worshippers at midnight. And I said all what I said to give you a context. But they didn't even just end up in Macedonia by themselves. They were actually led specifically by God. So they were following God's plan, following God's will. And as God led them to the place, he basically ended up in prison. Are you following me? And for many of us, what will we be doing at midnight in prison? God, which can ye be team be this now? Eh? If not that I go to Surpassing Grace Assembly, where they say we must follow the will of God, follow the will of God, follow the will of God. We should ask God's counsel. We should ask God's direction. If I didn't ask now, I would not be here. It's because I want to follow it. I listen to the teaching. I want to do exactly what the Bible says. And then I followed it. And now I'm in prison. Is this how you treat your children? You understand what I'm saying? And then we'll call that prayer. We'll call that. And then you say, oh God, after you finish complaining for 1 hour, who delivered Dana? Oh God, who delivered Dana? Oh God, who delivered Dana? Why can't you deliver me? You'll be there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about a lifestyle. The man didn't think about how they got there. He just knew God has him in his hands. He just knew that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his every step. Are you following me? They sang, they prayed, and they sang praises. The prisoners were here. They were lost in it. That the prisoners were hearing them. And guess what? When the prison doors flung open, they didn't run. He said, Ope, Oshishe, Ope, Ope. This place thing, they walk up, the door open, and then they ran out. No, they stayed there because they were not doing it to get something. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It was just a lifestyle. And so they sat in there because, again, God has not said go. Are you with me, anybody? Let's say a few things quickly. Number one, we have to know that if we're talking fundamentals of worship, it's a matter of the heart. That's first and foremost. It's a matter of the heart. Where's your heart? Where's your heart when you are worshiping God? You know, it's interesting that even when we talk about people are speaking in other tongues, you know, the Bible says that when you pray in other tongues, your spirit prays, but your understanding is unfruitful. So I've had somebody twist that before and said, I can just be praying, and then, of course, it's okay, my mind, it doesn't have to participate. It means that I can just be doing something else, but I'm praying. We're all praying in church, but it's okay for my mind to go anywhere else, because the Bible says that when I'm praying, my spirit is praying, my mind is unfruitful. It doesn't mean you give your mind liberty to go anywhere. Are you still following what I'm saying? Yeah, I've told you before how my pastor said they were in church and they were taking offering. And they collected the offering after they were counting offering, and they saw a piece of paper there. It said number one, tote. Number two, wrote. No, tet, wrote. Is it tet or tat? Tat, wrote. They saw things like that. So the men were. That road, what is this one? It's not even a vow. You know, it's not a promise of I vow that I will give 1 million naira, you know, by next month. Yeah, I say, what is that? What is road? So one man collected, he said, bring it. You don't understand. This is what? One, tatasi, rodo. So while they were in church, the woman's mind was all in the market. She was writing what she would buy in the market, tatasi, rodo. That's what she was writing. So she was writing it in tongues, you know, which the women could, they had the gift of what? Interpretation of the tongues. And when the offering bag came, she was startled and just dropped it. She didn't know that it was not money she was dropping. It was the shopping list. Are you there? It's a matter of the heart. Where's your heart? Jesus was speaking in John chapter 4. Let's read that. John 4, 23. So the first thing, if you get this right, is that you must be focused. Somebody said the heart of the matter is that it's a matter of the heart. Of course, this story is Jesus coming, sitting with a Samaritan woman by a well, but we don't need all of that background. And they had a conversation. And maybe we need a little bit of a background that I will start to read. So the woman said, or we read that from verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, but hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship the Father. You worship what you do not know." That's a big problem, isn't it? The more you know God, your worship changes. He said, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation of the Jews. But the hour is coming." So he was talking about after his death, after the New Testament has been enacted in full, because there is no testament except there is the death of the testator. Okay, so he was saying, but the hour is coming, and now is very soon. "When the true worshippers," can I hear you say true worshippers, "will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So basically, in a summary, that's saying that your heart must be there. Your whole being must be there. You must be completely focused when you are worshiping God. So the woman's concern, as Jesus began to speak to her, the woman's concern was about the ephemerals. She was concerned about the ephemerals. She was concerned about, you know, what's the venue? What does the venue look like? And all of that. Years ago, we had a young man attend church, visiting. And after I was greeting him and talking to him, and I asked him, "Which church do you attend?" And he told me. And I said, oh, I didn't know that church had a branch in Lagos. And he said, no, we haven't really opened yet. He said, because, you know our church now, we have to have, the right venue. Everything must be in place. It must be perfect and sophisticated. The best keyboard, the best sound. As he was saying that to impress me, I was pitying him. I was pitying him because that's not about worshiping God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not about worshiping God. How will you then be able to worship him in prison? Are you still with me, anybody? Let me celebrate SGA people. You know, when did we move here? December 2015. We were meeting down the road at Magrelo's. We first met in the upper room. What was that place called? Tetrazini. I don't think it exists again in Lagos. So we were meeting in the upper room of Tetrazini. Then, and the AC was erratic. So AC could be on, may not be on. So again, you have to ask God, what do I wear? Can I wear a tie? Can I wear a suit? Because I don't know whether, and it was next to the kitchen. And they were using charcoal. So when I got up on Sunday mornings, I'll ask God, which one? because I don't know how comfortable I'm going to be. And then one day they came, they locked us out. And that was it. Then we moved a few doors away to Magrelo's. We're meeting again in the upper room. And then they began construction. They began to reconstruct the place. And the owner came someday and says, well, there's the hall next door. Do you want to take that? Because it's now becoming vacant. Because I complained. I said, you just started this renovation. I said, you mean they didn't tell you? I said, no. He said, well, there's this place coming up vacant. Would you want to use it? And I said, well, if we use it for the same price, I said, no way. And then we moved there anyway. And so we're fine. And then we're going to come here. And we started construction. And most people don't know. It was, almost 100 trucks of sand to sand fill this place and all of that. And then we had the pillars put up, and we had a roof. And we told the engineer, we said we wanted to have carol service here. Just get it ready for carol service. So do the floor, put the roof and all that, and we'll have a carol service. And then we'll go back. So we did the carol service and all that. It was nice, exciting. And then I said, okay, now that we're done with carol service, we go back there until this place is ready. Because we were used to AC now. We have stepped up. I mean, and when I said that, I remember people saying to me, no. I said, no, we need to go back there. And then until this place is more conducive. They said, no. Said, man, we are here now. We are here. We're not going anywhere again. This is ours. We will stay here. I said, but there's no AC. They said, it doesn't matter. We will stay here. I said, these are true worshipers. Are you with me? So you must look at it. The woman was complaining and said, they said, it's there. We say it's here. And Jesus said, it's none of the above. None of the above. The syllabus has changed. Look at your neighbor. Say, the syllabus has changed. God isn't dealing with all of those ephemeral things. It's great to have them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's great to have all of those things. I can tell you about several cathedrals that are empty around the world. Why? Because that's not God's real emphasis. It doesn't make God happy, but that's not his real emphasis. It's not the issue. And I can tell you that you can enter a cathedral and you know God is not here. And yet you can gather with people under a tree. And you know that God is here. As I said that, I remember in the university, someday we were, a few young preachers. And we had a few disagreements. So we decided that we needed to settle some of those disagreements. That's how revival began in Nigeria. And the CAC church was born. Do you know that? Do you know church history? Was that they had disagreements, doctrinal and what have you. They had disagreements. And they said they wanted to meet to sort them out. So they went and met in Elisha. And while they were meeting, Ayo Babalola was one of the junior people. While they were meeting, some people came around there and a child had died. So they were crying, screaming, and all of that. They came there, and they sent him out. They sent Apostle Ayo Babalola out to go and find out what the problem was and resolve it because they were disturbing the meeting. So he went out and saw that the child had died and prayed for the child and raised the child from the dead. That's how revival broke out. Are you there? And so the same way we gathered, and we said, let's meet, let's talk about this thing. So we gathered, we had maybe 2-3 hours. It was open here. In UI, if they call it the Alumni Center, just in front of the place. We're just there in the open, and we talked and talked and talked, and we sorted out issues. And just about when we finished, a lady who knew many of us saw us from afar. Ah, you, blah, blah, blah. And she decided to come and greet us. As soon as she got to our midst, she just fell under God's power. God can be anywhere. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God doesn't need air conditioning. Can I have an amen? That day, I feared God. That this one that we came to settle fight, we argued, and then we said, okay. And then God's power was that tangibly present. We were nobody to sing 3 fast songs and 2 slow ones. You understand? We have all those keys, Abby. It's 3 fast songs. Oh, no, it's now we start with slow song, Abby. 2-3 slow songs. Then you raise the tempo. Then you bring it down again. And it got, no, go sing Oto Jo. Are you with me? So John chapter 4 is what we're reading. And Jesus said, forget the ephemerals. He said, now is that God is seeking those who worship him in spirit and in truth. I wanted to read you that in the Passion Translation. Passion Translation, John 4:23. He said, from now on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with a right heart. For God is a spirit. Can I hear you say God is a spirit? He's not impressed. You should read Isaiah 66 when you get home. You know, Isaiah 66. He said, I am God. I made everything. He said, where is the house you will build me? What are you going to use to impress me? That's what he was saying. He said, but to this man I will look, the one who trembles at my word. The one with a contrite heart and trembles at my word. He was saying, those things don't impress me. It's great, it's good. Provide the best comfort possible that you can afford for the worship of God. Amazing. But don't let those things become the focus. God said, what I'm looking at is the heart, is the heart, is the heart, is the heart. When I see the heart, I move on that person's behalf. I move in that direction. Are you there? Number 2, goes hand in hand. That's why I started from that. Number 2, don't do anything you do to impress people. Don't do anything to impress people. You know, I actually visited an assembly this week. I just wanted to go listen to someone speak. And I got in, there was a lot of, you know, singing going on. But something was missing. Something was missing. I remember, I think it was Reverend Omolenyi was saying that. And he said when he met, what's his name now, Apostle Obadare back in the day. He said there was a minister's meeting. They were all in this place. And when the man came on, they were praying. And then he came on with somebody and was supposed to minister. He said, and they were all there praying, tongues and all that. And he said he sat down, he listened. He said, then he asked the man beside him, he said, who are these people? Who are praying without fire? He said, I can't preach. He said, you know what you will do? He said, no, they're missing. He said, you know what you will do? He said, what? He said, find 2 of them. 2 of them who are very eager and strong. Let them come with me to my next crusade. He said that was his baptism to see the operations. Are you there? Now, who are these? I'm not sure who said that. Is it Omolenyi or somebody else? You know, he said, who are these people? Just bring, no fire. And listen, that prayer is not about how gymnastic you move or how loud your voice is. There's something commanding, the presence of God. And much of what you will see in public actually it represents what has been happening in private. That's why I tell people, if you can't wake up, sing to God, worship God by yourself. When you come here, we're only trying to help you to start. So all of what is being done, all of the choir's rehearsal, all of the choir's good singing, and the keyboards and the drummer playing in synchrony is just to help you. When you get it right, you don't need them. Something will happen in your room. You will sing and sing. You will know that God is here with you. But don't do anything to impress anyone. Can I have an amen? Rehearsals are important. So even when you say choir and all that, I led a choir, and I think Reverend Fashion was here. He told you I led their choir because I got there, I looked at the place. It's my friend. And I thought, okay, God, how can I help? You know, how can I serve and help in this time, 1 year that I'll be here in the UK? And I looked at it and I thought, this choir needs help. So I asked him, I said, give me permission. If you don't mind, let me run the choir. And he said, please. So you drill them. They pray, they drill them. You drill them discipline. Do things right. Are you with me, anybody? Listen, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. So I'm not dismissing that. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the Bible says that when the singers and the trumpeters, when they played as one, meaning that there was synchrony, so there must be some form of rehearsal. Are you hear what I'm saying? He said, then the glory of God fell. But don't do that by itself. That alone will not stand. What I see now is that people are putting up productions in church. You know what I mean by production? Where you rehearse everything to the T. Where you have been told, you sing this song 2 times. Then you move to this one once. Then you move to that one 3 times. You dare not sing the one that is once twice. God must not move you to do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Something is missing. Because now we are doing it to impress. But we get it all right. We get it right. The thing that when we play it, when they sing it, you will think it's the album they are playing. But we are following, making an impression. The heart is not with God. God said these people speak of me, but their lips speak of me, but their hearts are far. Are you there? Let me tell you another part, maybe many of you don't know. When I was in medical school, I started a concert. I started a concert there. I just had a vision. Actually, when I entered 100 level, I said, God, I want to make an impact for you here. So tell me what you want me to do. I made that commitment, and I left it there. 100 level, 200 level, 300 level, 400 level, 500 level, because you do 600 level medicine. 500 level, 600 level. One day I woke up and I was praying. And God said to me, you remember what you said? You know, in 100 level. I said, yes. He said, now it's time to do it. I said, okay. So what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to have this concert on a scale that was very big. So we called it Rock. Then, Rock, and that's Revelation of Christian Knowledge. It's an acronym for that. I said, this is what I want you to do. If I remember correctly, our budget was hovering around 200,000 naira. Then, you know, this was what, 1999, 2000. I said, hey. So I looked at it. I've never been there. I'd heard of a concert on that scale. I mean, with everything. So all the works will be there. All the lights, all the effects will be there and all of that. And I thought, how do I do that? On the campus, the only people who did concerts on that scale, at least on that Ibadan campus, the only people who had concerts on that scale were the Breweries. All the Guinness and what have you. They were the only ones who had that kind of concert. I will bring all these secular artists. Fellowships didn't do that. I wasn't even a fellowship pastor on campus. So, and he said, I want you to do that and use the medical students. So here I was not a pastor. I didn't pastor a campus fellowship. But we raised teams. We raised a choir. We raised a drama team. We raised a dance team. And this were teams, maybe, I think the choir must have been about 40, 50 people strong. Dance team, several people, and things like that. So we raised that. And the money came. To cut the long story short, the money came miraculously. But as we were doing that, this is where I'm going. As we were doing that, and the rehearsals were happening every week. So people had all of their commitments in church, in fellowship, wherever they were, but we were rehearsing. Because I told them, this thing, you will do it to perfection. But not only were they rehearsing, we were praying every week. We were gathering and praying. Heavy prayer meetings were taking place, preparing for that event. And by the morning of the event, we were praying. And after the prayer, one of the people said to me, he said, you know, I didn't believe. I didn't believe all this while. He said, it's this morning that I don't believe that this thing will happen. Are you there? But it happened on a scale that they haven't forgotten in UCH. After that, it's happened about 2-3 times. You know, I mean, after me, of course. But when we were done, we had lecturers who came to attend. I saw somebody who came to me afterwards, and he said, you know what? He said, I was there yesterday. He wasn't a Christian. He said, it's because of that I'm going back to church today. That was a Sunday morning now, so the concert was on a Saturday. He said, it's because of what happened yesterday that I'm going back to church today. It wasn't because of the singing. In fact, the first song that they did was a Fred Hammond song. I think it's one of the best singers I know. And she was in the church choir. Actually, a few of them from the church choir came. So she was telling me later, she said, you know, when that choir started and began to sing, he said, we began to argue among ourselves that you were miming. That it was miming. It couldn't be the people singing. That it was perfect. He said, we were listening for error. There was no error. He said, the sound was so pure, correct, accurate, that we kept arguing that they are playing the CD. They are just miming. But guess what? What I'm trying to say to you is that the rehearsal was good, but the prayer behind it was gooder. Are you there? Okay, now I've run out of time. So guess what? 1 Samuel chapter 16. Saul was having problems. And then he said, find me someone who can play the harp. So that when they play the harp, this your mental disorder will calm down. Medically, that's been proven. You play music, it has an impact. And then somebody said, hey, I know somebody. It's not just skillful. He said, so they were looking for a skillful player of the harp. But somebody said, hey, I know somebody. He plays the harp all right. He said, and God is with him. That's what got David the job. Not the playing of the skillful harp. There were several in that town. But once the guy had it, he said, and God is with him. They said, that's the man for the job. That was his first introduction to the palace and palatial training in readiness for his own kingship. Hallelujah. Let me stop. But as I do, stand on your feet. As I do, let me say to you one more thing that I see is becoming a danger. And it's social media. Are you there? Look at your neighbor. Say, beware of social media. I see people worshiping. In church, they're worshiping God. Then they hold a phone. And they are recording themselves. I will worship you forever. I love you forever. Because this God is too good. Who's that for? Are you with me, anybody? Who's that for? Something is wrong, though. Something is very wrong. When God is moving, you are focused on God. If you are worshiping God, it's God. You can't be focused on yourself and on God at the same time. It's content creation. Content creation. Are you there? This content creation thing is a problem. Let me say something you take with a pinch of salt. The Association of Psychiatrists, just a few short years ago, of course, with the advent of smartphones and better cameras, said or defined selfies or the taking of excessive selfies as a mental disorder. Take it with a pinch of salt. Because what is excessive? It's up to your definition. It's up to your own determination. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the question is, why are you so obsessed with yourself? That some people, they take, 10 pictures of themselves. Alone, not that they're even snapping with somebody they want record of. Just themselves. They snap themselves 10 times a day. Don't you know yourself? It's what? No, you still end up with 10 on the social media post. Not that they will select the best one and put there. You still see 10 of them in different posts. You say, the next day, the same thing. So like some people I see there, but I just scroll past. I say enough is enough. In fact, some of them you see several a day, I just scroll past. I say enough is enough. How many likes do you want? Are you with me? But what still, we want it in church too. We want it during service too. No. Are you with me? You know Catherine Kuhlman, one of the most anointed in the healing ministry in recent times. Of course, she's dead. From her came ministries like Benny Hinn, like Billy Buck, and strong healing ministries. And reputation very strong. Healing services. If they're going to start at 6, by 4 or 5, the place is full. Outside is full and all that. And in fact, people are already getting healed when the service has not started. But she was so focused on God's presence that she said she didn't even want video recording. They wanted to record her services. She said, no. She said, no, you're going to distract me. Because then I'm conscious of the fact that you are recording something. But there are videos. Go and Google her videos and watch Catherine Kuhlman. You see the concentration, like it's like Benny Hinn. Louder, see, she's that way. You know, and she's the one who said, I'd rather have the anointing of God on me for 1 minute than for you to give me the whole world with a fence around it. And she'll say, you don't know what this ministry cost me. You don't know the price that I pay for it. So they begged that. They said, these kind of miracles and things we're seeing, how will we be able to tell generations after about this kind of ministry? They said, please let us record. They said, no. They begged her profusely until she allowed 3 services to be recorded. Mainly meetings she held for Full Gospel meeting, Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. Otherwise, she refused. They begged and said, please, for the sake of posterity, let us have some records. That's not even selfie. That's not herself recording herself. That's them just to put camera. There's no way. No way. I want to be focused. I want us to be focused on God. So why are we not having such services today? Because the cameras are too many. Are you with me? Everybody has one. Everybody is holding out one. We're singing, I will sing unto the Lord. Beware of social media. So what have we said today? Number one, it's a matter of the heart. Number two, I forgot it. God, what? Don't try to impress anybody. Don't try to impress anybody. When you come in, forget everybody else. Focus on God. Forget everybody else. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, the 24 elders came before God and they cast down their golden crowns and worshipped Him. Cast down their... They even forgot about themselves. who they were, how important they were, what they were wearing. They cast down the golden crown and worship him. And number three, watch out for social media. Let's worship God this morning. Talk to him. Make a commitment to him. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you because our devotion to you changes individually and even as a church. Thank you because we will usher in your tangible presence. Not sometimes, but all the time. Every day in our lives, we will experience that because we will be true worshipers.